who said that the unorthodox methods of killing people by ISIS is Israel's fault.
We blame you. But listen to this. And, this is what I'm going to say now this year is also a very personal biography. So, this, as I see now here, the most recent report of what's happening in London. So, I'm now going to describe what's happening in London. What happened on Friday? This is a report from Friday. Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, which was the ninth of Tammuz, the day before the Parsha of Chukas. 771 years ago, there were 24 cartloads of the Talmud, Bavli, and other Sforim, which were burnt in a central spot in Paris. And what is the news in London on that same day? That there's going to be a private ritual in a secret place in London on that same day. They announced it, where they will burn copies of the Talmud. But what is it? It is a response to the anti-Aryan race descriptions which are taught in the Talmud. And who does it come from? From a neo-Nazi group in London. So it says there, it would appear that this report in London is similar to what happened on the same date 771 years ago. It's just, and although it's true that all over the world there are blames to this news item, which was declared by a young neo-Nazi active person in Britain to prepare for the demonstration which he and his friends on Shabbos, Pashas Bolok, next Shabbos, are going to put in one of the most Jewish areas where I was raised, in Golders Green in London. Now, first I want to tell you what is my personal reaction to this. As my parents were wise enough, when they saw the rise of Nazism in Frankfurt, in Germany, in fact, my father, Zeche Tzadik Livrocho, was a learned lawyer, very highly respected, and kept to the Shulchan Aruch in accordance with the tradition of his parents. His mother was a daughter of the Aruch Lener, and his father, my grandfather, was the Rav of the Großgemeinde, the larger community in Frankfurt. And my father, who had battled in the First World War and was heavily wounded also, he was a Prussian officer, he got the Iron Cross when Hitler came to power, he returned the Iron Cross to the government. And I remember his explanation of a pasuk, which we recite in one of the Tehillim during the week. Yasu Ovel Alechok, being a lawyer, he says the Nazi regime, they are producing iniquity on the basis of laws of iniquity, Yasu Ovel Alechok, which is the height of corruption. And he prepared to leave Nazi Germany in good time. And we went over to London, actually lived in Hampstead, but our spiritual home was Golders Green. We used to walk there, Shabbos and Yom Tov. There was a stronger German Jewish community known as the Munkshul. We became members there. I was educated there. I remember I came to Germany as a boy of not yet six. Well, yeah, I was already six. I was 6 years old. And I remember next door to us, where we lived, there was also a German non-Jewish German family whom we suspected that they were spies. But when I was in Frankfurt and went to the school as a little boy, I still remember some of the non-Jews throwing stones at me. I went to Jewish school. I still remember when there was once a huge march of the Hitlerjugend. I looked out the window and he was there. The leader of the Nazis himself. We saw this as children. We were a bit afraid. We came to London. There was no Jewish school for my age group nearby, so I went to non-Jewish school without knowing any English. So at the beginning, there was suspicion. You know, you Germans. Very quickly, as a result, also my parents insisting we should only speak English as much as possible in the house, and picked up the language and were accepted with friendship. And when we afterwards saw how Great Britain is fighting the Nazis, so it comes a bit of a shock to see that neo-Nazism is very strong in England. I thought it was only the Muslims. No, this is a neo-Nazi exhibition, assembly. And they're going to make Hafganah, an anti-Semitic demonstration, next week in Golders Green. Active neo-Nazis made known a few weeks ago they want to make such a demonstration. Against whom? Against the organization known as Shomrim. Because the Jews themselves, like we do here as well, even here we have Shomrim, Shabbat, also to make sure that we don't have Muslims stealing and doing harm. So in Golders Green, apart from the police gave permission, you, because the police protect a lot of the places, but it's not enough. They say, you Jews do something. It's an organization of Shomrim. And the Nazis are opposing this. They made a demonstration already a few months ago in Stamford Hill, which produced no real consternation. Because it was not so strongly organized, it became forgotten, hardly made an impact on anyone. It's made a demonstration. But now they want to make a larger demonstration, Golders Green, and to combine it with a private ritual of burning the Talmud is they're doing on the same day. So, the fact that the Jews of London were given permission to protect themselves in front of the anti-Semites who surround them through the power of the Chomrim, and the anti-Semitic groups call this the rights to give the Jews permission to have such an organization. So therefore they call their demonstration an activity against the Shomrim, against those who want to protect the Jewish community. And the person who is one of the organizers, he says he's the main organizer, is called Joshua Bonhill, a young anti-Semite who was already, to some extent, given a law of the courts, the police, that a few months ago, when he made an attack and harassed with words some Jewish communal leaders. Therefore, he has a prohibition to come near to London. But he is the one who doesn't care. He's calling out anti-Semitic activities in London. And he is the one who's arousing the right-wing groups and organizations, the extreme nationalists of Britain, to join in with his demonstration. Joshua Bonhill. And he's already brought a few others who are taking a tramp to join these neo-Nazis. And some of the more traditional neo-Nazis are joining. So there's a certain lawyer, a Jewish lawyer, Mark Lewis, who is active in the Jewish community. And he says the real one who's organizing it is called somebody called Eddie Sampson, who is a most abominable racist. And in the past, he belonged to what's known as the National Front, the battle group number 18. And amongst those who are speaking is also Martin Webster, who is a remnant from the neo-Nazi movement of the 70s. A very doubtful character who has come revived now. Lewis says, after the demonstration which took place at Stamford Hill, and that was something which didn't make an impression, the anti-Semites said in Golders Green it's going to be on a larger scale. So he asked as many people as possible have got an influence, and one of them is one of the radio commentators of the British radio, the BBC, Ian Dale, who discussed with this Lewis, was able to discuss with this Jewish lawyer who's trying to get involved to protect the Jews, what is going to be the demonstration and what type of counter-demonstration is the Jewish community preparing. And they're especially doing on Shabbos because they think, well, most of the Jews in Golders Green are religious and want to keep Shabbos, and so they won't get much opposition from them. But many Jewish organizations have got involved. Those who try to help the Jews in Britain. And there's an organization, Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, which is an organization which was raised at the time of the last war, Chuk Eitan, where we know there was an enormous amount of anti-Semitism arising in England. So he said the program is as follows. We're still trying to involve ourselves in intensive dialogue to allow the Metropolitan Police of London to make sure that there should be law and order. We'd much prefer that they should, according to the law of the public law and order, they should forbid it. This not new a Nazi demonstration because it's too dangerous. But this can't be put into practice. If it turns out then that they'll be permitted on the 4th of July, which is next Shabbos, to make their demonstration, we will organize thousands of Jews and non-Jews to stand in an honorable fashion, with unity and with pride. I want to demonstrate that these racialists, they're not only against Jews. This gives them the power to try to become a larger party and to make more and more provocations. And we have to organize a large group that will show them that this cannot continue. Since it would appear the demonstration was arranged to start with on Shabbos, so we asked the organizers, how are you going to deal with this? So it says we're organizing it all together with the rabbis of the area. So we can't have, and then there isn't area in many of the areas. There's a certain amount. So we're not having them putting up plaques, but we are preparing a special shirt on which we will put the opposition to Nazism in England. And nearer the date, we'll see what will happen. We don't want to give the neo-Nazis preparation time to prepare themselves to oppose what we want to do. But we're organizing together with the police, and there's also an organization for communal security, which helps to bring some protection to the Jews of Britain. So the London Metropolitan Police, they say they will permit the demonstration, but they're close to the Jewish community organizations and they're taking notice of their concerns in order to make sure that this demonstration of the anti-Semites will have minimum influence. This is what the head of police there, John Mosley, who looks after the police in Golders Green area. And the meeting took place together not only with the representative of the organization Shomrim, who tried to guard the Jews, but also representatives of more than 40 synagogues of the area who are very worried. But they are trying to organize, as we said, that there should be strong solidarity and much larger the numbers to try to make sure that the neo-Nazis will be in a weak position. At the same time, there are many in the parliament who are trying to get votes in parliament to forbid this demonstration. And turns out there are quite a lot of members of parliament who are trying to get it to be stopped by the parliament. The day after this meeting, this Josh Bonhill came out with the statement they're going to burn the Talmud. And they say, in addition to that, at the demonstration, they're going to destroy the flags of Israel. But it's forbidden by law to burn the flags of Israel. They'll be arrested. So they'll tear the flags to pieces. So the members of parliament, you mentioned a few names here, from the Labour, also from Conservatives, and they're asking the Home Officer, the Home Minister, she's called Theresa May, that she should stop the whole demonstration. And the members of parliament who say this demonstration is taking place in an area where 40% of the population are Jews on the Jewish Shabbat. And they say all means have to be used to protect this active community of Golders Green from provocations. And they called upon the Minister May to see if there's anything could be done to stop this movement of hatred. Also, the Board of Deputies of the Jewish community, which is representative of all the Jews of Britain, they are make an arrangement that on the Thursday for this Shabbat, they're going to come out in the mass media for the whole of Britain to do everything possible, if it can't be stopped, but to make sure that it will not produce any violence against the Jews. So this is surely a most terrible situation, because we're going back to the Dark Ages, burning of the Talmud. So, first of all, do you have any comments on this? Before I can describe to you now what happened on this same date, 771 years ago. Yes.
I was going to say that actually on the subject of Muslims and Nazis, Hitler himself actually liked Islam, even praised it, said it was his favorite religion, and many Nazis later on converted to Islam when they fled to Arab countries. In Egypt, especially.
Yes. Well, the Mufti of Jerusalem, during good part of the war was in Berlin, a partner with Hitler. And he helped to produce the manifesto of Hitler, that all Jews have to be completely extinguished. So now let me go back to what happened on this date. As it's reported in the most ancient records, it says, on Friday of Zot Chukot HaTorah, 24 cartloads filled with Zifrei Talmud, halachot and agadot, also midrashim, everything that time was the only manuscript, took place in France. And it's well known that Maram of Rottenburg, who witnessed this, he composed the lamentation which is included in those said on Tisha B'Av. And he says as follows, Adamel nafshi v'echel chiki echol. How can I eat? How can I be in tranquility when I see that our enemies have taken together the spoil from the Jewish people and they have burnt up the most superior spoil which exists? And they're no longer allowing them to be used by your community. This appeal to Hashem. And then he says, I'm bringing down tears until they become like a stream. And they will reach the places where they're buried. The two noble leaders, Moshe and Aaron, on the mountain of Hor. And will ask, why were your productions, the written of it, and the oral law, why were they burnt? I wonder very much concerning the light of day, which can shine to this dark period. So now, if you want to understand the hatred to the Talmud from the Christian world at that time and the Inquisition, and by the way, it took place to a great extent supported by one of the main priests of the Inquisition at that time, was called Sorbonne, after whom the University of Paris is named until today. But we have to understand this, that it's partly caused by the Mumarim. There were amongst the Jewish people apostates who became Christian missionaries. It happened in those times when there was so much Christian anti-Semitism, and Jews who wanted to have a position where they could earn money well, sometimes even reach a high position, they became Christians. And they helped the church to go and support the anti-Semitic policies. Because what happened? There was a certain apostate. His new name was Nicolas Dinin. He did a great deal of harm to the Jews of France. And he wrote many evil things about the Jewish people. And he sent them to the Pope of that time, as Gregory the Ninth, and to the King of France, Louis the Ninth. Now, what was the special grievance of this missionary? He had a great grievance against the greatest Rav of Paris, Rabbi Yechiel of Paris. Rabbi Yechiel is Beit Din, when he was still Jewish. So they made a decision of Din Torah and excommunicated him because he wouldn't listen to the Beit Din because he was already doing negative things against the Jewish community, but he was still Jewish. So he was put in excommunicated, which had the result he became to hate the rest of the Jews. So he became a Christian, And he worked very hard to make sure that the Pope and the King would start hating the Rabbonim and the Talmud. Until the end, he committed suicide. Again. So, he brought many complaints against the Talmud. So the King decided, Louis IX, he decided he's going to examine more closely what these complaints are. So he decided he's going to make a public debate between the representatives of the Jews and the representatives of the Christians and find out, is the Talmud permissible in a Christian society or do we have to ban it? So it turned out on the Monday of Parshat Balak in the year 5000, that was fixed for the date of the debate. On the side of the leader of the Jewish committee was Rabbi Yechiel of Paris, and Moshe Mikutzi, who is the author of the Smag, Sefer Mitzvot Guru, very great scholar. Also, Rabbi Shmuel ben Shlomo from Tyre. Mehuda ben David and Melaon. And this debate with the king went on for a few days. And in the end, the rabbis succeeded to be victorious in that debate. And the content of this debate, of this public disputation between Jews and Christians, has been printed by the Christians and also by the Jews. Now, who won the debate? Rabbi Chiel of Paris. But this didn't stop the hostility. There was a person who accepted and recognized the truth of the Jewish point of view, that the Talmud was a worthy work. But he died from sickness. But the priest, the head priest of the king, he said, since he died, it's a sign we may not be lenient with the Jews. And therefore, the king accepted his point of view, and he said that the Talmud indeed has to be burnt. And the date which was fixed was the Friday of Pashas Chukat. Now, the truth is, even the Mogen Avraham brings that one makes a fast day, some people have a cut and make a fast day, in the week of Parshas Chukas, because of the gigantic burning of manuscripts, which of course closed some of the yeshivot. Didn't have any, some of the teachers were also killed, and they had no books left, no printing. So it says, Yechidim, they do fast because of what happened. And then they asked some of the leaders, they asked, does it have anything to do with the date? So they were shown in a dream, some people would say some of the leading rabbis, it's the parsha of Zot Chukat HaTorah. If you look in the Targum, the Aramaic Targum, Zod Gezerat Oraita. It's a decree against the Torah, which took place in Parshas Chukas. Now, we should know, listen to this, in the course of those years, before this happened, there was a huge dispute, the Jewish people, against the books of the Rambam, which caused, you can say, enormous machloket in the communities of Spain, France, and Germany, in the course of which there are some of the books, especially the Sefer Mada of the Rambam, the first book of Mishneh Torah, and the Mora Nevuchim, were burnt by the Jews.
But they're not Jews, they get rid- mind if they do those kinds of activities.
Well, you'll tell, please. Now, the Shmuel Eleket and Rabbi Hillel, the son of Rabbi Eliezer of Yarna, who was a disciple of the Maharam of Rottenberg, he says, if you'll ask me, who can show us those Gezerot which came to burn the Talmud? Maybe the result of the Jews burning the book of Madan, the book of Morin Vuchim. And I can give a proof that this seems to be one of the things that triggered it off, because within 40 days of the time when in that spot they burnt up the books of the Rambam, in that place itself, they were then burnt up all the books of the Talmud. And they mixed together the ashes, together with the ashes from the Sefer Madan and Moreh. The ashes were still in the same place. And the Jews and the Gentiles saw here there was a Din Bashamayim. And from above this fire was sent, because the Jews themselves had burnt up the books. And then this person who writes this, he said, we know that one of the greatest Talmudic and moral teachers of that time, the famous Rabbi Yonah of Girona, Migarundi. And he was one of those who said you should not learn the Moreh Nebuchim. You should also not learn the Sefer Mada. But afterwards he changed his mind. He saw his opposition was wrong. And he wanted to go to the grave of the Rambam to ask him for forgiveness. The enormous vacuum which was created as a result of not having all these holy writings, they find their expression in all the Sforim of the early authorities. Rav Shneur ben Shlomo, who was a great colleague and friend of Uchil of Paris, writes in his Teshuvah that my spirit left me, my strength departed, and the light of my eyes is no longer with me because of the terrible trouble that has come over us. And there's no way in which today we have no Sfarim, so we can't anymore study the Torah. What happened? Rabbi Chil of Paris didn't want to stay in France, and he came to Eretz Israel and settled in Akko. Rabbi Neyona also made his way to Eretz Israel, probably went on the grave of the Rambam to ask him for forgiveness. So this describes what took place in those years. You have any comments?
I think previously there was another famous disputation between the Ramban and some priests before the King of Spain.
Right.
And there was a book written called The Disputation in Barcelona.
Yes.
And many of the Rabbanim said that it was over, that the Ramban was like sticking his hand into the serpent's den. So the king favored the Ramban. However, over 200 Rabbanim converted to Christianity later in Barcelona. So today in Spain, there are many, many Gentiles who have Jewish blood.
Yeah.
One time, one out of every four people in Spain was Jewish.
Yes, okay. Spain today, they want to give Spanish citizenship to any of the descendants. It's also likely in the Horowitz family, they ran away from Spain. Their origins also from Spain. But they went because the original name was Benvisti. Yes, but I'll tell you about the Ramban. So it's like this. He also won the debate. It's also this Christian as well as Jewish records of that famous disputation. But because he won it, also the person who opposed him was also a missionary, Fra Pablo. He was a Christian missionary, a Jew who became a Christian missionary. And he knew a lot of Judaism. Yeah, that's why it was similar later on in France. So he also came, that's why he came to Eretz Yisrael. He had to escape. Because the anti-Semitic movement was strong in Spain. So if he should win, he couldn't face that. So he had to go. The king advised him, go away quickly. Save your life. And that's where we've got the Ramban Shul in the old city. He came to found the Kehillah in Yerushalayim. So now, but now there's a further aspect. Because a few hundred years later, there was a community in Italy. We know also that that included also the Roman community, Jewish community, with the Pope, the King of Italy. And there were great masters of Torah in Italy. But because also many people from Spain, they found a refuge in Italy. And Italy became built up as a major Torah community. And also, in Italy, there were quite a lot of rich Jews, so they were able to print for him. That was the age of printing. Yes, you see, even today, what's left from those times are the most valuable printed for him in the antiques for him, Judaica. But what happened was that unfortunately there was a big argument between two major printers. In fact, it had to do also with two printing firms, Jewish printing firms, printed the Rambam. And then they started fighting one with the other. Because of the strong competition which existed with all of them. So, as a result, they brought complaints to to the king and the also even to the Pope. So, this was 300 years later when early printing took place. There was again a machloket about the books of the Rambam in a different manner. The two great printing presses in Italy, they had difference of opinion. Both of them printed at one time the Yaruch HaZaka of the Rambam together with the commentator. And this became of big complaints one against the other, and they went and complained in front of Pope Julius III in Rome. Each one, their printing contained insults against the Christians. And then there were some who had gone over to Christianity and joined in. I thought, now we can show the negative aspect of the Talmud, Judah, the Talmud. So, the second of Elul, the Ashim of Gimel, the Pope gave out He gave it out to the whole of the Catholic Church, with all the different bishops and archbishops, that they're obligated to burn up the two Talmudim, Talmud Bavli and Shalmi. Any books of the Talmud they possess, and if not, all their possessions would be confiscated. It was also an enactment, Christians may not read the Talmud. They can't keep it in their possession. They are not allowed to help the Jews to write or to print it. When this came out, the heads of Rome were asked immediately to search the houses of all the Jews, and it made no difference between whether it was a book. So they took out all the book, all Hebrew books from the houses of the Jews, and brought them to the central place of the city of Rome. And meanwhile, the Inquisition, the Nazirite Franciscani, belonged to the Franciscan Church, so he was a high noble, but he decided he's going to become Jewish. He saw the falsehood of Christianity. And he took on the new name of Cordanilvio from Monte Latino. So this was generally the rule of the Inquisition, also later on, even the Roman Church and Russian Orthodox Church. If any one of the Christian priests, sometimes even from the hierarchy, and decided he wanted to become Jewish, they burnt them at the stake. They got burnt up. So therefore, this Ger, he was burnt in the central area of Rome, and 5 days later, the Talmud was burnt in Rome. So this brought great fire of opposition to the Jews, to the Christians in Rome. And so this is what's producing the burning of the Talmud. And therefore, they especially chose the first day of Rosh Hashanah in the Ashinu Dalet, which means over 400 years ago. There's tens and thousands of copies of Gemaras, Mishnais, and Yaakov, and other Hebrews for him were burnt. And all the bishops, it was to follow the same pattern all over, all the cities of Italy, and even went over to the islands of Corfu and Candia, it's Crete, which at that time was under the rulership of Venice, and they gave even there the Siman Kihema Shin Dalajud Limaot, because that was the year Shin Dalajud. So in the year, 5 years later, they started burning up books of the Talmud, also in Cremona, as a result of which the yeshiva in that town had to be closed, they had no books left. And some of the popes that came later, they repeated this enactment that no one was allowed to study the Talmud and that they would have to burn them up. It was forbidden also to print new ones. So there were only a few Jews in scattered areas still. They hid some of the Sforim, quite dangerous. And we know at that time, Italy was the center of printing. This tomorrow, because it's quite significant. I hope this also listens to people from Great Britain. Maybe if they know a bit more about the history of what's going on, they'll realize that this is a dangerous fire to play with. Let's hope also got news this week of hope. That we're coming near to a time where human beings will recognize that Judaism gives the right path towards peace. And mankind has to give up this irrational anti-Semitism.
A question. What was Horowitz family's original last name? Ben?
Your name?
Horowitz family original last name. Ben.
Benavisti.
Benavisti. Avisti. And also, King Louis IX died of dysentery on one of his many failed crusades, along with his two of his favorite sons. Also, Pablo Cristiano was responsible for helping exterminate over one quarter of the Ashkenazi Jewish population during the First Crusade. As many Ashkenazi Jews would rather martyr themselves and their children than convert. And the third comment, as a result of the burnings of the Talmud in Italy, the Polish king allowed the Jews to keep the Talmud. As a result, many of the Jews fled to Poland, and that's why Poland had one of the largest Jewish communities in Europe. Every time the French king did something to the Jews, France suffered till eventually it culminated in the Hundred Years' War, after which France lost its preeminence in Europe. Pretty much forever. You know, France was like the dominant kingdom. I mean, England used to be in Scotland and Ireland, were pretty much de facto provinces.